Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Bava Metzia Ein Aleph, we are holding four lines off the top of the Amud. Ikka de Masni Loha, there were some who applied Rav Huna's lesson, they had a different version. Ikka de Masni Loha de Rav Huna, aha. That Rav Huna stated his statement on the following point. In contrast to yesterday's version, the Tanya Rav Yosef. So Rav Huna basically was saying that we're discussing receiving interest payments from a goy. So yesterday we had one version, and today comes another version, the Tanya Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef presents a price based on a pasuk im kesev talves ami yesa oni imach. The Torah is instructing us to lend money as ami to one of, you know, our nation, as ani, a poor man, imach, who's with you, who's close to you. The Torah here is denoting that a hierarchy is in place. There's a system of priorities in terms of who you're supposed to lend your money to. So you have a choice, ami v'nachri, one of our nation, or a goy. Who do you lend it to? Ami koidim, first comes a yid. Likewise, aniva asher, poor man or wealthy man. Ani koidim, poor man's first. Ani yecha, v'ani ircha, you have a poor relative versus a poor man from your city. Who gets first priority? Ani yecha koidim, first comes your relative. Rashi says this is because it says imcha, right? And imcha means hakreven lecha, the ones that are closer to you are meant to be looked after first. And finally, aniyei ircha v'aniyei ir acheres. You have aniyim locally and aniyim of a different town. Aniyei ircha koidmen, first come the aniyim of your local town. Amar mar, let's go back to one point, which was if you're faced with a choice between ami v'nachri, a yid or a goy, ami koidim, a yid gets priority. Pshita, well, obviously you have a chiv, you have a mitzvah to a yid, to sustain a yid. I mean, isn't that obvious? Amar Rav Nachman, amar li Huna. Oh, says Rav Nachman, Huna, my friend Huna, Rav Huna, explain to me. When Nitzricha, the Brisa must be addressing a chiddush. Da afilu l'nachri beribis b'Yisrael b'chinam, even if he's faced with a choice between lending money with interest to a guy who's going to pay in full interest versus lending money to a Yisrael for free, free of charge. He must give the Yisrael priority even at the expense of the interest that he's not going to be getting. Now the Chavetz Chaim and Sefer Avos Chesed writes, this is only pertaining to a person whose livelihood is not based on lending with interest, but if he's a banker and this is what he... So in that case, he need not forego this business opportunity. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Boyurei, come have a look. Samyus a name Shalmavi Beribis, the blindness of those who lend with interest, who seem oblivious to their own fallacies. Look, Adam Kirid Chaveri Russia. Imagine a fellow is called Russia by his friend. That really gets him infuriated. Yoridim al-Chayef will even go and interfere with his livelihood. He'll be so incensed. Look what every person, a person who's lending with ribbis, you know what he does? He's proclaiming his fallacies in public. V'heim, v'yin, eidim, right? So a person who's lending with interest, he sits down and he formalizes the agreement with witnesses, v'lavlor, and a scribe to author the shtar, the komus, and a quill, a joy, and ink, and they sit and they write and they sign. What are they signing? That he's lending with ribbis, which in effect is in contrast to the Torah and to the emunah that we have, that all money is from Hashem and we're meant to follow Hashem's instructions. Plain is that this individual here, kafar b'lekei Yisrael, he's denying Hashem's existence. You have extra money, it's Hashem's money. It was meant to be used for acts of kindness. meant to lend without ribbis. And you go ahead and you deny that reality, deny Hashem's existence, so to speak, and you're involved with ribbis. So when he's incriminated by somebody else, he gets all incensed. But then he goes ahead, turns around, and he publicly declares his denial in reality. Tanya, Reb Shimon Elazar Eimer, Kol Mishi Yesh Lei Mois Umav Oisem Shalei Beribis. On the other hand, if a fellow has some extra money, and he's willing to lend it without interest, all of Akos of Eimer, on him the Pasuk says, Kaspei L'Nosam B'Neshech, V'Sheicha Adal Noki L'Lokach. He's honest with his money. Man of integrity, doesn't take ribbis, doesn't take bribes. Oisei Eila, these individuals, La'imad La'ilam, they will not falter forever. So what do we learn from here? Alamanta, apparently we see, Shekal Amava B'Ribbis, that person who does get involved with ribbis, Nechasam Ismaititin, his wealth disintegrates. Says the Gemara. So the Diyuk is, says Rashi, because only these individuals will not falter, but otherwise a person will falter. But we find that at times, even those who refrain, the loy maisvib, they don't lend with ribbis, and still they have a hard time financially, they fall apart. Amar Rav Lazar, it's just temporary dip. Halolam ismaititin va'ilan, these individuals, they fall but they get up. Valolam ismaititin va'ilan, as opposed to those who are involved with ribbis, it's an eternal disaster. Lama tabit b'idim tachrish kevala rasha saltim menu. Hashem, why are you observing? Why are you allowing the rebellers, when they swallow up the right, the rasha swallows up the tzaddik who's greater than him. So we have a diuk. A rasha can only affect a tzaddik who's higher than him, who's greater than the rasha. But a perfect tzaddik, such as a person who withstands the temptations of ribbis, this tzaddik will not falter permanently. Tzaddik mimenu, Amar Afun, tzaddik mimenu b'ilea. The Rasha at times can affect a tzaddik who, you know, stands higher than the Rasha, but tzaddik gomar, perfect tzaddik, eine b'ilea, will not happen to him. And Rashi explains again, even though he'll find that he's mismited, very often everybody has a dip and financial hardship, but it's not la'olam. Be'ena nivla la'olam, eventually he'll get it back up on his feet. Tanya Rabbi Omer, I have two kashas. Ger Tzedek, when the Torah references a true ger, ha'omer l'inin mechira, when it comes to selling of the Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave. So I have a reference to a Ger Tzedek. V'ger Toshev, ha'omer l'inin ribbis. And likewise, when it comes to the halachas of ribbis, the Torah references a Ger Toshev, a guy who's adhering to some, you know, mitzvahs, he refrains from avodah zarah. So these two references in the Torah, eini yedei amahu, I'm not sure exactly what their meaning is, and something more explain what the difficulty involved is. So number one off the bat is ger tzedek. Ha'amar l'ini mechira d'chsiv, we have chiyamach ochicha, im chavinim kalach. A yid will be going through financial hardship, he'll sell himself as a slave. V'lo'ilacha, and at times, not only will he submit himself to a Jewish owner, El Ger, even to a Ger. He'll sell himself to a Ger, Shanem al Ger, Velel Ger Tzedek, not only to a regular Ger, El Ger Tosh, even a Ger Tosh, Shanem al Ger Tosh. The person continues, Mishpachas, he sells himself to a family of a Ger. What is that? Zanachri, to a Goy. Kshoema Oila Eker, the person continues, Oila Eker, the actual, what does the actual mean? The actual of a Dezara. Zanimkal, it's Gechavim Atzma, he sells himself to a church, to, you know, to as a caretaker of a base of a Dezara. Okay, so that's the Brisa. Now comes the difficulty. So he'll sell himself to a ger. Shnema leger. Okay. Lemeimet the ger koni eved ivri. Do you mean to say that a ger can purchase an eved ivri? He doesn't have the ability to do so. Ramini beva brisa. Ain't a ger niknem eved ivri. So number one, a ger cannot sell himself as an eved ivri. Ve'ein isha veger koni eved ivri. And likewise, a isha or a ger cannot acquire an eved ivri. And the Gemara explains why. Ger lo niknam eved ivri. Why can't a ger be sold as an eved ivri? V'shaval mishpachta b'inan v'alaka. It says after his period of work, he goes back to his family. Well, he's not going back to his family. Family, a goyim. So that's not applicable. So the whole idea of a ger is not applicable by eved ivri. On the other hand, v'ein isha v'ger koinin eved ivri. They can't acquire an eved ivri. for different reasons. Isha shouldn't be buying an Eved Ivrit. Lav Erech Ara, it's not appropriate because of Yichud issues. Ger Nami, likewise a Ger shouldn't be purchasing. Gmiri, because we have a Halacha, a very set formula. De Makni Kani, De Le Makni Le Kani. That a fellow who can sell himself as an Eved Ivrit, he can acquire an Eved Ivrit as well. Right? De Mikne Kani. But the Lemikne, a person such as a Ger, who cannot sell himself as an Eved Ivrit, as we said before, like Kane, he doesn't have the right or the power to acquire an Eved Ivrit either. So, back to our question, why does the Torah allude to a Yisrael selling himself to a Ger, who apparently doesn't have the ability to be kind and Eved Ivrit? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Einai kain v'dinei is ki Yisrael. Although a Ger can acquire, he could acquire Eved Ivrit, but not in the same context as a Yid owning an Eved Ivrit. Einai kain v'dinei ki Yisrael, he can't purchase an Eved Ivrit and follow the rules of a Yisrael, who basically would pass on the Eved Ivrit to his children if he passes on. Aval kaina v'dinei kenachri. But he can buy an Eved Ivrit and will have the same din as a guy who buys an Eved Ivrit, who doesn't have the ability to pass on the Eved Ivrit to his kids after he passes away. The sanya, as we have a brisa, denoting this distinction between a Jewish owner and a non-Jewish owner. Hanirtzav, Anim Kalei Nachri, a person who's past the Ritzia stage where they bore his heir after the 6 years, right? Vanim Kalei Nachri, or if he has a non-Jewish owner, Eino Eved Lo Yisabenu Yisabas, if the owner passes on, the Eved Ivrit does not transfer to the children. Amar, let's go back to one more point that we mentioned. Bein Isha Veger Koinin Eved Ivrit. So nor an Isha or a Ger can purchase an Eved Ivrit. Neima Deloi Kerav Shun Gamliel. It seems that this Malacha, that we block out an Isha as an Eved owner, is not going to conform with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Listen, Isha Koines Hashvacha Yitzveinu Koines Avodim. Although an Isha can acquire maidservants, but not Avodim. Rav Shimon Gamliel Leimar Av Koines Avodim. Even Avodim she can acquire. Oh, so there you go. Says the Gemara Filu Tema Rav Shimon Gamliel, even according to his Shita, it's gonna work. Lekasha, depends what. Kan Be'Eved Ivri. The Isha is forbidden from purchasing an Eved Ivri. Kan be'Eved Kanani. However, an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave, that she can acquire. The Gemara explains why. Because by the Eved Ivri, it increases the inappropriateness factor. Eved Ivri Tznila, because he's a modest person, he's a quiet person. And if they do anything wrong, he's not going to publicize it. So that entails a greater risk of wrongdoing. As opposed to Eved Kanani, he's going to publicize Paritzla. So there, she wouldn't dare getting involved with him inappropriately. So there's no issue of inappropriateness. Says the Gemara, Eloha. Ha, the Tanri of Yosef. So what about Rav Yosef's halacha? Armalta, a woman who's a widow. Loi tarbi kalba, she should not be raising a dog because she might get involved with him inappropriately. Loi tishri barbe rabu shpiza nor. Should she put up a yeshiva man in her home? So Bishleim Babi Rav, I understand why a yeshiva student is an issue, because Tnila, he'll keep things quiet, and therefore there's an issue of inappropriateness. Ela Kalba, but when it comes to a dog, there, if one gets involved physically with a dog, even the Masrachba, he'll be, you know, lagging behind her. That's just the nature of things. So if there's any involvement, he's going to sort of be attached to her. Mirsa says that would present a an element of affair and dissuade her from being involved with the kelev, lest her actions be known. So what's the issue with that? Why can't she raise a dog? Right? There's that built-in deterrent. Says the Gemara Amri, the answer is kivin the chishadi le'umta masrich basra, because there's another reason why a dog might be following this person, masrich basra. If she shadile, she throws to umta, you know, a piece of meat. Right? So that also generate that sort of lagging. So Amri Inshi, people, when they would see this dog following her, they'll say, oh, they'll attribute it to the fact that she fed him Mishum Umtza, the Shadile, because of this food that she threw to him, who the master, that's why it's happening. So there's no deterrent factor, and therefore it should be avoided. living with raising a dog should be avoided for the almana. Okay, so bottom line, we had a kasha. How come the pasuk and the brisa discusses an eved ivri being sold to a ger? I thought a ger can't own an eved ivri. The answer is he could own him, but not in the same way that a Yisrael owns him. Regarding an isha owning an eved, well, the Gemara says it depends on what situation, and all depends on the deterrent factors involved. And the point is to try to avoid any inappropriate conduct. Ger teishev, ha'omer l'inyan ribis mahi. So Rebbe said to us two things. I don't fully understand ger tzedek by mechiras eved, and number two, the reference to a ger teishev when it comes to ribis. Mahi. So what was he referring to? The chsiv. We have a pasuk. So if your fellow Jew is having a hard time financially, prop him up, support him. Ger v'teisha v'chayimach, right? Whether he's a regular citizen or ger, right? Al tigach me'itoy neshech v'tarbis v'chei achicha imcha. Okay, so basically, refrain from charging him interest, and support him financially. So, what is the pasuk telling us? That even a ger teisha should not be paying you ribis, right? V'ramini, we have a kasha from our Mishnah. You can have an interest transaction with a goy and with a ger teisha as well. Right? There are many loyven men, amalvanoisen, verubis, v'chem v'yer teisha. How does that fit with the pasuk? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, take a closer look at the pasuk again. Miksiv al tikach mi'itam. Sure, initially the pasuk references a yid, achicha, right? And a ger teisha. But finally when it makes the mentioning of ribis, don't take ribis, doesn't say from them, al tikach mi'itam. Don't take from him, Yisrael, only from a yid. But by the Ger Teishev, ribis is not an issue. And the mentioning of a Ger Teishev in this pasuk, says Rashi, is for the second part, v'chei achicha imcha, support him, feed him. That's your obligation. But ribis, with respect to ribis, he doesn't have a din of a yid. Tanu Rabbanan, al tigach mi'itoy neshech v'tarbis. So don't accept all forms of ribis payments from a borrower. Avol atanasa loy arev. But you can present as an arev, as a guarantor, to a yid, apparently to a yid who's going to be paying ribis. Well, says the Gemara, how can that be? Arev leman, who am I guaranteeing here? Ile ma arev li Yisrael, is the fellow being an arev for Yisrael borrowing from another Yisrael? How can he do that? Vatanam, we have a Mishnah. All those players are violating Isurim. Elu Avrim say the following individuals have violated Eloisa say for being involved in an interest arrangement. Hamal the lender, Alev the borrower, Ha'ariv, even the Ariv, the guarantor of Aidim and the witnesses who signed the document. So how's that allowed? Elulunach. Oh. A Yisrael borrowed from a guy who can lend with ribis. And the Ariv here is backing up that loan. How can he do that? He's intricately involved in this loan, and it's like he's paying the ribis. You know why? Since the system by the goyim is, it's different than by us, by them, the malve doesn't initially approach the borrower. He goes straight to the arev, and the arev first pays up the lender, and then goes to the leiva, who in this case is a yid, and gets compensated for paying off his loan and the interest. So in effect, the Arev is collecting interest from a Yid. It's like the Arev took the money from the guy, lent it to the Yid. He's like a middleman. He took that money for himself, lent it to the Yid, and now comes payday, he's going to pay the guy, and then he's going to turn around and collect from the Yid. So in effect, he's collecting ribis from his loan to the Israel. Right? We're giving the dini de nachri, since by the goyim, their system works like this. The azal wasl arva, they go straight to the arev. And the arev turns around and collects from the leiva. Iu niyu de koshalka min ribisa. So it's like the arev personally is collecting ribis from the yid. Amar av sheshes. Why is it allowed? Shekibil olo lodo b'dini Yisrael. In this case, the goy submitted himself to the Jewish system. That, no, I'm not going to target the Arev first. I'm going to go first to the Loive. And as a backup, I'll go to the Arev. So the Arev isn't really technically the borrower. The Yisrael is borrowing from the Goy. And if in fact the Yisrael defaults on his loan, the Arev will have to step in reluctantly and lay out that money. And it's like he's lending the money. It's like he's starting. It's like a new phase. It's like he's right now lending X amount to the Goy, the principal plus interest. Right? He's paying that to the Goy. It's like he's lending that amount to the Yisrael, the borrower, and he turns around and collects that from the Yisrael. Right? So, in this case, there's no ribbis involved between the Yisrael and the other Yisrael, because when the Arab is compelled to pay up that defaulted loan, which is, let's say, $1 million plus interest, so he pays off the $1 million plus $100,000 to the Goy, that constitutes a loan right now, going forward, to the Yisrael borrower, and he turns around and he collects that amount from the Yisrael. Look, I lent you that amount, I'm collecting that amount. So since the Goy was willing to go along with this system, right, initially we figured he's following the standard secular system where the Arev is a central player. He's the one that's considered like the borrower and turned around and lent that money to the Yisrael. And eventually, if he takes interest on that, it's like he's taking interest from his own loan. No! He's following the Yisrael system, the Torah system. The Loiv is responsible. If he defaults, okay, then the Arev steps in. He lays out the full amount, principal plus interest, and turns around and collects that from the Yisrael. That's perfectly fine. Because it's like he lent him that greater amount. It's not on account of delaying the payment. I'm lending you this full total amount now, principal and interest. I'm paying to the guy on your behalf. I'm turning around and collecting that from you. So as the Gemara, well, if the guy is submitting himself to the Torah system, then he shouldn't be taking interest. If he accepted upon himself to follow the Din Yisrael or Ribbis, not Megalishka, why is he taking Ribbis? Amar Rav Sheshes, he did it selectively. Shekibel alav lazu, v'lekibel alav lazu. He was makal himself to follow this element of the Torah system, that his claim rests primarily on the Loive, not the Arev, but he conveniently ignored the other element of our system, which forbids taking ribbis. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Malvi Yisrael Mo'isav shal nachri midas ha-nachri v'chul. What does this all mean? Tanu Rabban. Malvi Yisrael Mo'isav shal nachri midas ha-nachri. Avalei midas Yisrael. Keita. Okay, how does this work? Yisrael shalava mo'is min ha-nachri v'ribbis. Okay, so Ruvain took out a loan from a guy with interest. Okay, fine. Ubikesh nachzirim loy. Comes a, due date. He'd like to give it back to the guy. He's going to repay everything to the guy. Mitzoy Yisrael Acher. He meets another yid in the street, Shimon, who notices he's about to repay the guy. Vamarli tells tells his friend, Ruvain, you know what? It's namely, why don't you give it to me? Right, so instead of repaying the guy, give it to me in the meantime, and I'll pay it all off to the guy. And I'll repay you the full amount, including the interest that you're about to pay the guy, right? So he borrowed 100 from the guy, he's repaying 150. Give it all to me, and I'll take care of it. The same amount that you were going to give to the guy, I'll repay you. So, is this okay? No, usher. You're not allowed to do this. Why? Because technically, he's borrowing from his friend Ruben. It's still Ruben's money. It hadn't yet reached the guy's hands. So, in effect, Ruben is lending him the 100 and getting back the 150 from his friend Shimon. But let's say the borrower, the initial borrower, the original borrower, Reuven, went back to the guy and sort of gave it back to the guy, or he didn't physically give it back to him. We'll see that in a minute. He offered it back to the guy, and he made it ready for the guy. He prepared it for the guy. He says, "Look, I have the money. I have your money." He informed him that he has his money, and suggested that, you know, perhaps we can, you know, and the guy agreed to lend it to the other fellow. Then it's considered the guy's halva. The guy is actually lending it. If you attribute it back to the guy, then it's okay. Because the guy is now turning around lending it to Shimon with interest. That's okay. It's like Reuven is, you know, representing the guy now. So if he just turns around and gives it to Shimon without informing the guy, then it's Reuven's loan to Shimon with interest. But if he informed the guy and he's doing it upon the guy's instructions, that's okay. And likewise, on the flip side, V'chein nachri shalava mois mistral. A guy borrowed from Reuven with ribbis. Ubikish lachzirim loin is about to repay it. Mitzoy Yisrael Acher. Then Shimon meets the guy in the street and he goes through the same conversation. Amalei says, namely, let me have the money. Vani yalacha gederach shatamal aloi, and I will repay you the same amount that you were going to repay to the yid with the interest. That's mutter, because again, here it works to the Yisrael's favor because it's still the guy's money, so it's a transaction between the guy and the yid. But v'mamide to Yisrael, but if it's connected to the owner and the guy is simply following the Yisrael owner's instructions, representing the Yisrael, right? So you inform the Yisrael, look, here's your money back, should I pass it on to your friend Shimon? In that case, it's usher because Shimon is dealing directly, so to speak, with the owner, with Yisrael, and paying him interest. So bishleim seifa l'chumra. So here in the second part of the Braisa, we seem to have a chumra. You see, really, it's only a chumra midrabban. Why? Rashi explains because what was the story? The guy borrowed from the yid. He's about to pay it back. And we say, look, if he does it on his own volition, that's fine. But if he informed the Yisrael and he's sort of following the Yisrael's instructions, which in effect makes him like a shliach, like an agent, and we know that a guy cannot be a shliach. Because the concept of a shliach is learned from truma. It says atem gam atem. You or your agents can do the truma on your behalf. So that's only by a yid. You have to be bnei bris. You have to be a yid. A guy is not connected to shlichus. So the fact that we consider this guy as representing the Yisrael owner, which makes it problematic, which makes it an issue of ribbis, because in effect the Yisrael owner is lending with ribbis by way of the guy. So the fact that we consider the guy a shliach is a chumra. It's a chumra midrabbanon. It's a stringency that we consider him a shliach, although midrais is not a shliach. So bishlam maseif al chumra, we understand that the issue in the second part of the braisa is it's just a chumra. Eloresha. But what about the first part of the braisa? Where we learn that if the Yisrael borrowed the money and he went back to the lender, the guy, and he instructed him, and he informed him about the fact that he wants to repay it, and there's a Yisrael waiting on the wings, wants to borrow. We say, look, if the guy, you know, is sending the Yisrael to lend this money, so he's representing the guy, it's okay. But how could we say a yid is representing a guy? That means you're giving the guy a power of shlichus. El reish, you're giving the shlichus l'nochem. A guy doesn't have the power to appoint a shlich. So the yid is not representing a guy. The yid himself is the one that's dealing with the other borrower, and he's accepting ribbis. Amar abhunu bar manoyach. You know what the answer is? Hachem Ma'iskin was speaking that he's not really being a shliach of the guy. Kigain the Amarle was speaking that the guy told the borrower, the Yisrael, Hanichem Agav Karkavi Pata. You know what? Put it down on the floor, and that's enough. I consider that to be repayment. So you've returned the money to me, and now the other Yisrael, the Shimon fellow, the new borrower, picked it up off the floor. And that's considered you're taking the guy's money directly from the guy. So there's no shliach, there's no agent. It was a direct deal between the guy and the new borrower. And that's fine. Yochem had a member. If that's the case, it's so simple. Why even discuss it? Elam Rapapa, rather, says Rapapa, who's speaking, should not tell v'nosam biyad. That the guy actually took it back from the first borrower from the Yisrael, Shanata, Venasana gave it back to the Yisrael, who turned around and gave it to his friend Shimon. So again, in this case, he's not a shliach. He's just simply passing it over from the goy to the yid. And of course, that's considered the goy lending the money. Vakati might remember. So even that, it's such a simple case. Why even discuss it? Of course, it's a legal. It's fine. Says wrong with the tema. Perhaps I would think it's not so simple. Nachri gufei, the guy himself ki ovid. The only reason why he did this is I dated the Yisrael called Gomer of Yoav. It was based on the Yisrael. You know, Yisrael's advice and Yisrael's doing, he was just going along with the Yisrael. It's like the guy was a shliach of the Yisrael. He was just doing the Yisrael's bidding. Reuven, the first borrower's bidding. And we should consider it like Reuven's deal with Shimon. Kamashman, the point is no. No. The fact is, technically the money was returned to the guyish owner. It's considered a brand new loan between the guy and Shimon. Rav Ashi Amar, I'll give you another teretz. How could the Yisrael represent the guy? How could he be a shliach of a guy? To hand it to his fellow Yisrael? When do we say a guy is not connected to shlichus, can't appoint an agent? Hanimul b'truma, that only pertains to taking off truma. Ava b'chol ha'Torah kuli shlichus l'nachri. So a guy cannot be a shliach regarding truma, but when it comes to other halachas, a guy can appoint a shliach or become a shliach. And that explains why the Yisrael can be representing the guy in terms of lending his money. And this statement of Ravashi is unacceptable. Why? Why can't the guy be involved in truma? Atem gam atem, right? You can take off the truma and your agents, and we connect the two things. Atem is a reference to Yisraelim, right? Ma'atem b'nei bris, just like you are part of the covenant, you are of the Jewish nation, your agent as well have to conform to that criteria. So we know that by truma, being a gir is a precondition. Shlichus tochal Torah kula nami mitruma gamrinal. Guess what? How do we even know throughout the whole Torah that shlichus works from truma? So it has to follow the same guidelines. It has to be a yid. Elo d'Ravashi berusahi. Rather, we don't accept Ravashi's distinction. Ikadavri, there's another version. Amar Ravashi. When do we block out a guy from shlichus? That's only pertaining to they being a shliach for us. They can't represent a yid. But if a yid wants to represent a guy, such as in our story where the first borrower, Reuven, wants to represent the owner and lend his money to Shimon, havina lu shliach, we can become a shliach for the guy. And once again, the Gemara disputes this distinction. Because what's the difference? Why can't a guy be a shliach for a yid? Because of that pasuk, which requires belonging to the Jewish nation. Same thing on the flip side, right? Just like a guy cannot serve as a shliach, he cannot appoint a shliach. Why? It says, Atem, you are going to appoint a shliach. Who are you? Yisrael, Ma'atem b'nei bris, kama, right? It says, you, the Atem, you're going to appoint a shliach. Who are you? Yisrael. Eloh de Ravashi Brusi, rather, we disregard Ravashi's distinction. Finally, says Ravina, I'll give you another teretz. What was the question? How could Reuven, the first borrower, pass the guy's money to Shimon as a shliach of the guy? Ravina, Amar, neither shliach is a nachag lesle. True. The guy doesn't have standard shlichus abilities, but he has some element of shlichus. So basically, a person can be zeiche, can acquire something on behalf of the guy, which, you know, works along the lines of the concept of shlichus. You can represent the guy to the point that you can accept something on his behalf. That's midrabbanon, and that's enough in our case, for our case, to allay any ribbis issues. As Rishayim explained that, you know, technically over here, it's not really, Rabban says that really the guy is gaining the ribbis, so it's not really ribbis minat Torah, only the Rabbanon. So therefore, if we can somehow work with a rabbinic allowance to allow this to work, it can counter you know, balance the Isser Ribbis Rabbanim. The Rashba takes on a different approach. He says, we know that the Chachamim have the Koyach to make something Hefker, Bezdin Hefker. And then once the Chacham instituted this din of Zechiyah L'Nachri, so the money becomes the Goyes. Even Minatur is considered the Goyes. It's not considered Ribbis payment to a Yid. In any case, what are we speaking about? Zechiyah Mid Rabbanim. That you can acquire something on behalf of the Goy, and that even a Goy has Islay. How do I know? Me did have a cotton, just like a cotton, underage. Right? A Yid who is underage, cotton, even though a cotton cannot appoint or become a Shliach, and Rashi explains because Shlichus is only by an adult, a person who has the ability to do Truma, because by the Truma it says, Me is called Ish. Right, so a person has to be an ish, an adult. So bottom line, the whole idea of shlichus doesn't apply to a cotton, but still, is the schia midrabban, midrabbanan, there's a concept of schia. So if an adult picks up an item on behalf of a cotton, it now reverts to the cotton's ownership. Achinami lishna here as well. A Yisrael can do so on behalf of the guy. So basically, the Yisrael, the first borrower, the Reuven, is zeiche. Sorry, the question of Gerson Rashi, who's the one doing the schia for the guy? So there is a Gerson here that the Shimon, the new borrower, is being zeich in the money, right? When Reuven passes the money over to Shimon as the new borrower, Shimon is zeich in the money on behalf of the guy. So now it reverses to the guy's owner. It says, oh, it was repaid to the guy, and now Shimon is sort of borrowing anew from the guy. So he's dealing with the guy. He can do ribbis, no problem. That's Ravina's chiddush to address our kasha. How this works. V'loyi in the Gemara disagrees with this. There's a big difference between a katan who's a Yisrael who has zechia, because Yisrael also l'chol shlichas. Yisrael eventually will, when he grows up, will conform to the halacha of shlichas, will have that ability. So the Chachamim already instituted some form of semi-shlichas at this early point. But Akam by a guy le'osi l'chol shlichas, he doesn't relate to shlichas at all, never. Even when he, right, there's no potential for shlichas, so therefore Chacham did not. We don't find the Chacham instituted any Shlichus element when it comes to a goy, is that won't really address our kasha. The only way to really solve our mystery is either that we're speaking that he put it on the floor, the goy instructed him to put it on the floor, and that is deemed repayment to the goy, or the goy himself took it from Reuven, gave it to Shimon, and gave it back to Reuven, who turned around, gave it to Shimon. So in any case, it was an outright loan directly from the goy to the new borrower. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. We discussed the hierarchy, you know, the priority system when it comes to lending money, right? The number one responsibility is to your closest, to your family, to your neighbors, etc., and to a yid as opposed to a goy. Discussed the element of emunah, trust in Hashem, which is so critical following the laws of ribbis. We discussed the ability of a ger to acquire an Eved Ivri, the concept of accepting ribbis from a ger toishav. We learned about being an arev to a loan between a goy and a yid. And regarding, we had these two cases regarding money which was owed to a to a goy or from a goy, and then he wants to turn around and lend it further, whether it's allowed or not. And we concluded with the halacha of shlichus, which is specific only to Yisrael and not to a goy. All the best to you and hatzlacha.